Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka, where the temperature outside is 53 degrees. We have rain and fog and mist this morning. Time now, though, for Raven News. I'm Chris Todd. Police are investigating an unspecified bomb threat made against the Sitka School District. The threat was received after students had gone home for the day on Thursday afternoon of last week. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The district office, which is located at Keet Gushaheen Elementary, received a phone call just before 3 p.m. Thursday. Superintendent Steve Bradshaw says a man called and asked about what services the district provides to students who don't speak English. The caller was transferred to another staff member's voicemail box, and the message wasn't received until about 3:30 p.m.
The person left a voice message that basically said that they were going to bomb the school if we didn't listen to them, and then hung up.
Police were notified and the buildings were searched on Thursday afternoon. Authorities, meanwhile, stepped up overnight patrols. At 6:30 Friday morning, Bradshaw made the decision to proceed with the school day as normal. He says he knows there will be lots of questions.
I know that parents are going to be upset that they weren't notified and given the choice that they could keep their kids out of school, you know, when we have this type of situation. And I fully respect that. At the same time, in other bomb threat type of situations, we would clear the building, but there's a strong likelihood that we would bring the kids back in also after a search of our building. So I feel like we pretty much covered what it is that we normally do in this type of a situation.
Bradshaw said he'll meet with anyone who would like to discuss the situation. The unidentified man called back Friday at 11:50 a.m. and again at about 1:15 p.m. Bradshaw said the man did not make any threats in those subsequent Friday phone calls.
One of the people here in the office did such a great job of keeping the person online that we slipped into my office, called the ACS, said put a trace on this thing. They got a trace on it right away, and that's how we discovered the number was coming out of California.
The Sitka School District uses caller ID on its phones, but the call that came in with the threat and the subsequent calls today were listed as private. Bradshaw says the district will consider whether to try and block private numbers from district phones, but that doing so might be an annoyance to people trying to reach the office for legitimate reasons. Sitka police are investigating exactly who used that number. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
A grand jury indicted a Sitka man Friday on charges that he pistol-whipped a motorist at Sandy Beach in late August. 31-year-old Donald Eugene Wick faces first-degree robbery and third-degree assault charges. Police say he approached a vehicle at Sandy Beach just before 7 a.m. on Sunday, August the 26th. A statement from Sitka police says Wick pointed a gun at the driver's head, then struck him several times with the gun and attempted to take control of the vehicle. Police say he fled the area on foot. The motorist flagged down a passing vehicle for help. He was released from the hospital after treatment of his injuries. Candidates for public office will be answering your questions tonight. Raven News begins 3 days of live candidate forums with the five people running for assembly. They'll be in our studio tonight from 6:35 until 8 p.m., and we'll be taking your calls. Tomorrow, the three candidates for mayor will do the same thing, and the two candidates for school board will be here on Wednesday. We'll give out the phone number tonight, or you can email your questions anytime before then to news@kcaw.org. Also, read up on the candidates. Profiles of the city candidates are on our website. The school board candidate profiles will be posted this week. You can access that by visiting kcaw.org, click on News, and then on Election Coverage in the drop-down menu. Juneau's bear population was a focus of attention for police over the weekend. It's reported by KINY Radio that two black bears were struck and killed by cars. One was hit on North Douglas Highway on Douglas Island, and the second was killed on Glacier Highway near Industrial Boulevard. Police Sergeant Chris Gifford says officers also were called on to chase off a bear that was attracting a crowd Friday night near 9th Street and Willoughby Avenue in downtown Juneau. Officers conferred with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game officials, who requested the bear not be killed. Officers then fired 4 beanbag rounds to chase the bear off. Royal Dutch Shell PLC says that after several setbacks, it no longer plans to try to drill deep enough to reach oil in exploratory wells off the coast of Alaska this year. The company was granted 2 exploratory drilling permits by the U.S. government after a long struggle with environmentalists who say seeking oil in the icy waters is too risky. Shell now says it's scaling back ambitions until next summer after one of its containment systems failed during a test. Earlier, the company delayed drilling due to ice flow movements. The company says that in the time remaining this season, it plans to drill shallow top holes for wells that may be further pursued in coming years. Shell is seeking oil in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. Officials say the University of Alaska Fairbanks has been selected by the state to study techniques for processing rare earth minerals. The UAF Minerals Industry Research Laboratory received a $297,000 contract for the research. The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that the goal is to identify the best techniques for processing rare minerals, as well as determine the best ways to handle waste rock. The Trip South Gang is ready for the next step in their adventure. Back in June, a group of 20-somethings from Juneau launched an epic kayak and bike trip from Alaska to Tierra del Fuego at the southern tip of South America. The paddling portion recently ended in Ladysmith, British Columbia, and after taking a couple of weeks off, the group was planning to start the bike portion of the trip this past weekend. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
Before setting out, Kanan Bosler was expecting the trip of a lifetime. So far, he says it's been that and so much more.
Basically, you know, when people ask what's the best part of the trip, it's hard to say because it seemed like almost every day we were saying this is the best day of the trip.
After leaving Juneau in their kayaks on June 1st, the group spent almost 100 days on the water before reaching Ladysmith, British Columbia earlier this month. Bosler is spending the time between the kayak and bike portions of the trip at Quest University in Squamish, B.C., where he graduated last year. He's using the downtime to put together a short video about their adventure so far. Some of the footage likely will be featured in a longer documentary about the trip.
This film project has really turned out to be a great way of doing a trip like this because it just gives us an excuse to go into these really unique places and go out there and find the smartest person living there and just have a good excuse to have a deep conversation with them.
Bosler says a conversation with Cake Village elder Mike Jackson had an especially profound effect on him.
He was actually the very first person that we recorded a conversation with, and it was very cool to hear, you know, all of the things that they use both in food, and he's an artist and a crafts maker. So he's constantly harvesting from the area and using those resources to maintain his lifestyle.
The core of the Trip South group consists of Bosler, Chris Hinckley, Andrew Francis, Colin Flynn, and Max Stanley. The Funky Five, as they call themselves, were joined by about 10 friends for portions of the paddling trip, as well as other boaters they met along the way. More friends and family undoubtedly will join for various legs of the bike journey. Hinckley, who's currently on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State, says the shift to biking will take some getting used to, but he's ready for it.
I'm sure glad that I'm not going to have to unload that kayak and haul it up the beach every night, so kind of a different way of moving, and it'll be a lot faster. Obviously, now all of a sudden we're going from 10 miles a day to 10 miles an hour.
But Hinckley says the group doesn't plan to hurry. After all, part of the reason for doing the trip was to see the world at a leisurely pace and get to know some new people along the way.
I think everyone has a little bit of this experience when you go out traveling, it just seems you attract all these people, and it seems like you meet more people than you might meet in your everyday life. I can't tell you how many times we were invited into people's homes to share a meal and to kind of just talk and share stories.
Hinckley says they hope to start the bike trip on Saturday. The group plans to follow the Pacific coast all the way through North and South America. Several local companies, including Nugget Alaska Outfitter and Cycle Alaska, have donated money and gear. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
A second major windstorm in less than 2 weeks was blowing in Alaska's largest city yesterday. Weather forecasters say its greatest intensity was mostly on higher elevations, where gusts were reported as high as 120 miles an hour. Chugach Electric reported outages affecting as many as 6,000 customers between Anchorage and the northern Kenai Peninsula. Those outages are mostly back online at this point, but they were suspected or known to be caused by fallen trees. Residents of Healy say they were without power for 6 hours on Sunday as the heavy winds hit the park's highway community north of Denali National Park. Vonian Savak told the Fairbanks Daily News Miner that the power went out at about 10 a.m., came back on at about 4 p.m. The State Department of Transportation says multiple trees were knocked down along the Alaska Highway between Tok and Delta Junction. Crews were working to clear them, but travelers were warned that there could be delays today. And at just about 30 seconds past the hour of 8 o'clock, that's it for Raven News for this hour. At 8:18 this morning, stay with us for our morning interview featuring Shannon Hoagland and Ellen Frankenstein in to talk about a film, or perhaps there are more than one, I'm not sure, but it all has to do with the Searches Health Summit, which is coming up shortly. And let's see, we've got a quick check into the temperature, 53 degrees this morning right now. Wind speed dropped a little bit. It's southeast winds this morning at 8 miles an hour, and rain diminishing this morning. You're listening to KCAW, Sitka.